John Allen presents the Creepy Crawl Podcast. Hey, creeps, welcome to Creep World, my apocalyptic amusement park, where the rides from hell are a white-knuckle-inducing brush with death, as our team of mascot characters gaze upon you with rotting eyes behind an eerie potato sack mask. I'm John Allen, your wicked Walt Disney, and remember, tickets are non-refundable, because like Hotel California, you can never leave. Of course, I'm kidding, but for some guests of amusement parks around the country, they in fact never leave the magical land of roller coasters and cotton candy. Hey, creeps, yes, it is a creep episode. Welcome to the Creepy Crawl Podcast. I am, as mentioned, John Allen, and today we are discussing haunted amusement parks and I have my own story to tell. Yep, first-hand knowledge. As always, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to everyone who's been helping the show, all the new Patreon supporters and so forth. I love you all. If you want to be like these sexy people, you can do so by going to patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can also directly help the show at Venmo at Jonathan-Allen-154, and be sure to follow me on the little Tweety bird at writer John Allen, no H, traditional boy band spelling. Now, creeps, today's research occurred on April 3rd, and on this day in history in 1922, icon Doris Day was born. Exactly 29 years later, in 1951, on her birthday, my fellow Cincinnatian married Martin Melcher. This is important for true crime fans like myself and you, because this would result in Melcher adopting Doris Day's son, Terry Melcher, who was the original target of the Manson family on that infamous night where they brutally killed Sharon Tate and others, which was the symbolic ending of the free love era of the 1960s, and for many, it brought true crime into our worldview. So, in honor of Doris Day, our pretend intro music today is going to be her iconic song, Dream a Little Dream of Me. This is a song that is both beautiful, yet somehow oddly haunting enough to be like in a psychological horror movie. So that's actually something I might include in one of my books. So, creeps, Woodrow is saying that, you know, it's time to get to it. So make sure you're tall enough to ride this ride. Keep your hands in the car at all times. And creepy crawl with me. So the year is 1993. The Branch Davidians in Texas, let's just say it is wacky in Waco. Also in 1993, I'm bumping Snoop Dogg, and the top movie at the old movie theater is Jurassic Park. Interesting, a movie about amusement parks, because in 1993, I got my first job at Kings Island. This is a Cincinnati amusement park that had been featured in episodes of The Partridge Family, as well as a famous two-part episode of The Brady Bunch. For people that watch The Brady Bunch or know about it, it's sort of one of their more famous episodes. It's a two-parter. You might remember Mike Brady has this big-ass canister, and it's got all of his architecture drawings in it, and it's super duper important, and the kids lose it, and tomfoolery ensues. Yeah, the Brady Bunch. So, 1993, I worked at Kings Island. I worked in admissions, because that's pretty much the first thing they offered me, and I really didn't give a shit. And I made the minimum wage of $4.25 an hour. Yep, that wage sucked, but I did get to visit the park for free, and the employee cafeteria had NBA Jam and Mortal Kombat arcade games, as well as good pizza, so it was cool. Plus, I went to Catholic school all my life up until college, so girls. Oh, also, Kings Island, I should say, haunted as fuck. Kind of like Ed and Lorraine Warren pretend haunted, but for real. Kings Island opened to the public on April 29th of 1972. This is a 700-acre property that rests on land surrounding forest. A lot of gumps out there. You know, 700 acres, I gotta tell you, boy, I just don't understand. When people talk about, oh, my house is on X amount of acres, I'm like, ah, yeah, cool. I've heard that word before. What is an acre? How big is an acre? I don't get it. Is this a common thing that you creeps know about? Do we live in Acreage, Alaska? I don't understand the concept of an acre. It, to me, it's like a kilometer. I'll never get it. So, anyway, enough of my fuckery. What most visitors to Kings Island don't realize is that tucked away among the roller coasters, the water rides, the midway games, there are cemeteries. Not anymore so much, but one remains, and it remained back in 1993. You can actually see it if you're driving on I-71 North, if you know where to look. It's so odd, this open location. It's tiny. It's a small historic cemetery. It dates back to the 1840s and is known historically as the Dog Street Cemetery. It rests on the north end of the Kings Island parking lot entrance. It's right by the highway. It's in this little grassy knoll right by the highway between Kings Island's parking lot and the parking lot of Great Wolf Lodge, which is not related to Kings Island. It is an indoor water park, which is stupid because Kings Island is next to it and much better and has an outdoor water park. But it is just this tiniest little cemetery. It's creepy, spooky, you know, all that. So back to 1993, I used to do all kinds of things. I'd sell tickets. I'd take tickets. You know, I would just admissions, whatever. Now, me and the homies used to like to be on parking detail because that was cake. People would roll through in their cars and they'd have a sticker and they'd hand you cash and they'd go park, right? And you're left to yourself pretty much. And, well, I was sitting in my parking booth one day, which is right where the cemetery was. I had better eyesight. So I can see this cemetery. And wouldn't you know it, one day I saw a little girl. No one believed me. More on that. So, no one believed me. Years later, I would actually get drunk and pass out in this cemetery. I was a bad seed at one point. My supervisor didn't believe me, and this is kind of funny and sad at the same time. My supervisor, making $4.25 an hour, oh, I guess he probably made like $5 an hour because he was a supervisor, was my fucking English teacher. That's right, teachers get paid so lowly in America that the second school lets out for the summer, I go to, like, you know, a job and my teacher is working alongside of me as a peer almost. Very, very sad. But he did not believe me, and nobody believed me about this little girl. All in all, there's like 70 grave sites that were on the land where Kings Island is. But I'll tell you, the ghosts of the park are not all connected to the old-timey boneyard. There are several verifiable and tragic deaths within the park that might just account for the spookisms. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you about some of those deaths that have happened. This is real life stuff, guys. So, you got to start off in 1976. Back then, no longer, of course, there was something called the Lion Country Safari. a 20-year-old Lion Country Safari Ranger, which seems way too young to be dealing with, I don't know, Serengeti apex predators in fucking Ohio. This ranger was mauled to death by a lion, okay? But the way he was mauled, oh my gosh. So this kid is just chilling amongst, you know, again, apex fucking predators. Jumps out the Jeep, has to pee, so that's what he does. And you can guess what happened. So here's a life hack. Never expose your dangle near a Serengeti apex predator. The most famous haunting, and the one that I'll cover later, is related to this most tragic event. On Friday, May 13th of 1983, Kings Island hosted a grad night for the local high schools. Very common thing for the time. This is what you did. High school lets out. Boom, you go to Kings Island. It was a lot cooler then because it's 1983. In 1983, you can drink when you're 18. And in 1983, at Kings Island, you can drink and carry the beer with you around the park. It was just a different time. Think too, in 1983, you could have been in high school and legally been able to drink. So, craziness, right? So, this is verifiable. You'll see it on my Twitter pictures. A drunk young man named John Harter was killed after climbing the restricted areas of the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is a real facsimile of the ginormous Eiffel Tower in France. It's probably about, I don't know, I'd say a third to scale. It's tall. It's crazy, right? It's really high up there. So, John Harter got drunk and fell to his death down an elevator shaft. Essentially what happened, as it goes, he somehow got out of the elevator, or he just climbed in an area. If you see pictures of it, it's all bars, okay? It's not a building or anything. It's just bars. So he climbed on top of an elevator, which is boggling my mind because it's so high up. Something happens. He falls down the shaft and is decapitated, either by being hit by the counterweight on one of the elevators or the cables themselves. It was tragic. It was a major news story. Remember John Harter, creeps. Again, I'll post his newspaper story on my tweet machine, and we'll learn later that he becomes known as Tower Johnny, who I believe is the most famous ghost of Kings Island. So, let's go back in time to June 9th of 1991. This is a day known in park history as Black Sunday, and I was there. I was 13 at the time, looking a couple months away from being 14 years old. So, Black Sunday, there is a young dude named Tim Brenning, and he's with his friends at Oktoberfest, which is near the Viking attraction. Oktoberfest is kind of a place where, if you're of age, you go. It's like a beer garden. It's got shade. It's got a little pond there. You go there and pay a lot of money to drink beer and get drunk. I mean, let's be honest, that's what it was, right? So he is at Oktoberfest. Now, creeps, before working at Kings Island, I was a season pass holder. And as I said, I was there that day chilling with my friend Jason. Pretty much everybody in Cincinnati had a season pass to Kings Island. It was hot that day, and Brenning kind of playfully dipped his hand into the pond that's at the Oktoberfest beer garden and begins to splash his friends. Unbeknownst to him, there is a short in the electric lighting, and he was badly shocked, and the shock causes him to fall into the water. Now, what happens next, if it wasn't real and tragic, almost sounds something like a comedic folly of errors. So he is in the water being electrocuted. He has a friend named Eddie Heathcote, and Eddie Heathcote went in to save his buddy, but was immediately electrocuted. Then, this is all within seconds, right? A nearby security guard rushes to the fountain. jumps in to pull both of those men out, but he is instantly electrocuted. So both the security guard and the friend Eddie just die instantly on the scene. Tim barely survived, and until the end of his life, was disabled. Now, let me lay out a picture for you. We've got Oktoberfest, the beer garden, right? That sort of starts the Midway, which is where all the games are. And you walk down the Midway for quite a bit. Then you start getting back to the rides, and the first ride on your left down the ways would be something that was brand new called the Flight Commander. Flight Commander, well, okay, so you've seen those rides, like the fucking scary ones, the swings that go in that circle. So Flight Commander's like that, but instead of a swing, you're sitting in a cart, and you are in control. You're going, I guess, counterclockwise in a circle. You control where you can spin, you can go upside down, you can go sideways, you can do this and that. This is right down the Midway. So, as the events happen at the beer garden, shock, literally, all screaming chaos, right? Well, there is a woman on Flight Commander, and she wants to see what's going on down the Midway, which would be directly behind her, to her right. But she can't get a good view because the ride goes counterclockwise. Had it gone clockwise, she could see what's going on. So this tragedy is occurring, and this woman is in the air doing the flips and all this. And it turns out she's drunk. So she begins trying to wiggle around in the open cockpit to get a better view, and somehow falls out of her harness 50 feet below and dies. It's an unbelievable sequence of events. These were major national news stories back in the day. They happened within seconds of one another. It was like a game of Tetris with macabre blocks that keep building up and you can't solve the puzzle. Man, do I miss my Game Boy. I just couldn't imagine being like a security guard or something like that, because you have, boom, you have two people dead and one disabled right here. But then seconds later, while you're in the middle of these screams, you know, you go a football field away and there's more screams and there's blood splattered everywhere and someone else just died. It's insanity. I really don't understand. It was just crazy, right? So as I said, it's very odd because we were there that day, me and Jason. We didn't see this, and that is a miracle. So our thing was, back in the day, one of our parents would drop us off in the morning and another would pick us up at night. We didn't have cell phones. We couldn't communicate with anybody. It was basically like daycare, right? We never had money. We were never given money. We would get so hungry and so thirsty. I may have mentioned before, I used to be a little bit of a baller back in the day. I can still to this day shoot like crazy. I can't jump or run anymore, but dead-eye shot, right? Same thing with Jason. Now, on the Midway, they have a series of games all lining up and down. The most popular would be this basketball shot game. It's $5 for 3 shots, and you can win a stuffed animal or these very popular mini basketballs with random colleges on them that were very popular at the time. So Jason and I, before we got banned from doing this by the people that ran the whatchamacallit games, we would kind of run a con. Not really a con. We would watch, and there'd always be some middle-aged white guy who's spending like $20, and he can't win his crying son or daughter a stuffed animal because he sucks at basketball. Well, to us, this is a free throw. This is very easy. These rims are triple thick, but there's a method to it. It's all about the flick of the wrist, the angle, the arc, whatever, spin on the ball. We pretty much like never miss. So we would offer these people, we'd say, hey, we'll take the shot for you. We'll win your kid the prize. You get the prize. Just give us $1 for making the shot. And that was our money for the day. On a normal Kings Island day, we would spend like 8 hours doing this because We just wanted money, and we were so thirsty. But for some reason, that day, we did not... I don't know where we were. We were somewhere in the park. I don't recall if they closed the park down, but I feel like they did, because I do remember one day, the park closing, and we had to go to the parking lot, and of course, no cell phones, and we had no money to use the payphone. I don't know why we didn't call collect, but... We waited like 5 or 6 hours in the parking lot when our parents came to get us at the normal time. So we were there that day, Black Sunday. I'll never forget it. It was national news. 3 deaths and a tragic disability, all within 5 seconds. We should have seen this thing, but it's amazing we didn't. Boy, do I ramble. So I think these tragic deaths have contributed to the ghost sightings at the park. The ghost known as, quote, the little girl in the blue dress, is seen by visitors and employees far more than the others. There's not much known about the tiny, cute little phantom, other than the fact that she seems to kind of predate the park and is, like, connected to the land. She is always described as a young girl, like 4 feet tall, dressed in old-fashioned 19th century blue dress. She kind of aimlessly roams King's Island in the parking lot, where that cemetery is, the front gate, admissions, and the international restaurant area, which is right at the beginning of the park. So these are all the places where I'm working as an admission specialist in 1993. Her ghost sort of holds court over the entire park, and security guards are always seeing her wandering around after dark. I guess one of her favorite haunts, ha ha ha, is the water park, which is ironic for a girl whose life was ended by water. Because, yes, creeps, she drowned. So all of the witness stories are taken independent of each other, but they're always the same. This little girl, they describe her as a friendly thing, not threatening or scary. She's just kind of there. Park employees have named her Tram Girl because most of the sightings are by tram drivers around closing time. The tram drivers typically, they take this train and they drive where the safari used to be, and it kind of is this wooded area that connects the main park to the water park. It's a bit of a stretch there. So yeah, Tram Girl, that's what we called her. And I do believe she was the little girl that I saw in that tiny hidden graveyard that still is there today. Again, she was in a blue dress, and my world was shook forever at the tender age of 16. Now, reportedly, Tram Girl runs onto the tram tracks and causes the driver to stop suddenly before she disappears into thin air. Queen City paranormal investigators call her Missouri Jane, after they found a grave in the Kings Island Cemetery for one Missouri Jane Gallinor, who drowned in 1846 at the age of 5. So she's really friendly in nature, but a lot of psychics and paranormal investigators have come to the park, and they claim that Missouri Jane is sad because she sees all these children in the park having fun without her. I imagine that to be true. I mean, if she's the little girl I saw in the cemetery, I mean, you're a child eternally living amongst dreadful corpses. That is sadder than the end of Old Yeller, you know? Old Yeller. Don't watch that, by the way, creeps, if you haven't. In Hollywood, stop killing animals in movies, you gamey mutant nipple hairs. So, perhaps unsurprisingly, she is not the only child ghost in the park. Employees and guests have witnessed a little ghost boy, and his name is Racer Boy. And it's not because he likes to run track. He did die on tracks, though, a roller coaster track. So what he does is wander around the park near the Racer roller coaster. This is a legendary old-ass coaster. Basically, you have 2 tracks side by side. One goes backwards and the other goes forwards, and the pretense is that you're racing the other team. Little hint here, the backwards cars always win. But the racer boy is often seen dressed entirely in white and always startles the guest, who then alert the employees. And, you know, there's this child wandering alone too close to this wooden roller coaster. And it's weird for the employees because it's like, okay, well, how do we explain to this guest that, hey, that's a ghost you saw? And this happened because two of the four cars on the racer roller coaster ride originally belonged to a ride at Coney Island, not the one in Brooklyn, New York, but there is a Coney Island way across town in Cincinnati that's really old, and it's another amusement park. And the two of the four cars on the racer belong to a ride at Coney Island called the Shooting Star. Now, as legend goes, a long time ago, a body of a young boy was found dead on the tracks of the Shooting Star, killed by those cars. Apparently, the child had been seated alone in the back of the roller coaster, and when it pulled back into the Coney Island shed, the kid was gone. The search ends, of course. They find his body found in a valley of the track. Nowadays, racer writers report seeing Racer Boy standing alongside the tracks in the tunnels as well of the popular ride. So, creeps, again, the racer is one of the oldest rides in the park, and the ride components really predate the park, going back to Coney Island. Now, Racer Boy sightings weren't reported until the early 1990s, and that is when these old parts from Coney Island were transferred over to Kings Island. So, the timeline fits. And you know what else it fits? It fits with my experience. Before the park opened in spring of 93, we had an employee dry run. This is what you did because, you know, every year it's just new employees. Nobody stays for year two because you don't want to make $4.25 an hour. I mean, at that rate, I could work 10,000 years and buy an 89 Toyota Tercel, right? So a dry run, basically you do your job for a couple hours, and then when that's up, you and either a family member or a friend enjoy the park as if you were a guest. So we did that. I can't remember. It was probably Jason or somebody. And we're doing the dry run. We're eating and we're going on the rides and all that stuff. We're passing by the racer. And in front of the racer is this game where you try to throw a coin onto a plate. And it's rigged, but, you know, I really wanted to beat the thing. Out of the corner of my eye, and I had never heard about this racer thing, this racer boy. Out of the corner of my eye, I remember seeing a little boy in white. I remember being confused because, again, no one in the park was really under the age of 15. That's how old you had to be to work there. I didn't even know it when I worked there. I think it was after I stopped working there that somebody told me about this. But it's weird because for some reason, as unexplainable as the appeal of K-pop, it's always stuck with me. There's some other haunted stuff. There's the octopus ride, which is supposed to be haunted by a park guest who died on it. None of my friends who worked the rides ever experienced anything, though. Because honestly, who would die on the octopus? You'd have to take a cyanide pill or overdose while riding it. It's just a stupid dinky ass, you know. Oh, I'm going in a circle and I'm moving up 4 feet and I'm coming down 5 feet. I don't know, if I was a ghost, I'd be really embarrassed if that was my death story. But the granddaddy of them all, remember John Harder? Well, he is Tower Johnny, and he is the most famous ghost, I would have to say, in Kings Island. Remember, he tragically fell from the riggings of the Eiffel Tower in 1983. Now, you'll see in the newspaper postings that I put on Twitter, I don't want his surviving family to feel like he's become more myth than human, but the thing is, his legacy is legend, and they should be pleased to know that there is something beyond, and more importantly, he's having fun to this day, because Tower Johnny, yes, he haunts the Eiffel Tower, but my friends who worked at the tower, as well as all these internet boards I've been on years, later, they say he's a prankster. kind of like what I would want to be if I was a ghost. It's kind of like Impractical Jokers, except you're in the netherworld, you know, that sort of thing. To this day, he's having fun. Basically, it can be a day with no wind. You'll be looking at a flag, and there's nothing flapping, right? But all of a sudden, you'll see a whirling dervish, and the cables on the two elevators are just flinging around like it's a hurricane, right? Well, all you have to say is, "Cut it out, Johnny," and the cables stop. This is something that I experienced. I witnessed it. My friends did this. I've heard from other people, same thing. He stops if you ask him to. He's nice. He's a nice guy. Tower Johnny is probably the most popular ghost at Kings Island, and most of the odd occurrences are blamed on him. Some claim to see him looking back at them from the tower, or hanging out at the fountain in front of the tower, which is something that would be noticeable because, let's face it, fashion in the 80s was a particular thing. And the sightings, of course, began shortly after his actual death at the park. Tower Johnny's blamed for, like, electrical malfunctions. In fact, to this day, like, if a sensor's tripped or, you know, something of that nature, the Kings Island employees are, "Oh, it's just a Johnny." That's what they do. They kind of blame it on Johnny just being a prankster. Now, let me tell you a story. One day, I was off work. Well, I'd gotten off work. I took off my little blue smock. And I was going to meet a girl at the top of the Eiffel Tower, right around closing. Every night at 10, Kings Island has a fireworks show. Employees are not allowed to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower and watch the fireworks show. But I had the hookup, right? So, it's a beautiful summer night. I'm going up the elevator, hoping to see some fireworks and maybe make some. And I am by myself in this elevator, which is really odd. Because everybody's trying to get up to, you know, the guests are trying to get up there. It's a thing. Now, the Eiffel Tower is not a building, it's a tower. It's metalwork, it's steel, it's just a bunch of bars, basically. So, there are levels, though. I'm going up in the elevator, and some malfunction, the elevator stops. It stops on, like, a floor, but it's weird. The way it stops, my head is kind of, like, eye level with someone on the floor, where all I can see is from their feet up to, like, their below their knees. And what I see is a pair of jeans, but then I see Puma sneakers. And this person is just standing straight as if they would be facing the elevator door, waiting for the elevator to stop and pick them up. Puma sneakers are very early 80s. And when this elevator began working again and went up, I passed that level and nobody was there. Could it have been some person that just gave up and moved to the side and took the stairs? Yes. Could I have been pranked? Yes. Could I have been pranked by Tower Johnny? I don't know. But I sharted that day. And there's a couple other spirits in the park. There's a ghost that's attached to the Whitewater Canyon rafting ride. That's a fun ride, you know. You're in this filthy water that you don't realize is filthy until you can't launder the smell out of your clothing. Countless employees have heard the disembodied sounds of a child giggling and then pelting rocks against their tower. So there's observational towers, you know, to watch over the guest, and it always happens after the last visitors exit the ride. There's the hee hee hee, and then boom, boom, these kind of gentle tossing of rocks at the tower. I remember hearing about this one a lot. I never experienced it or knew anyone who had. I had heard about it in the cafeteria from, like, other tables from eavesdropping. It's funny to me the employees call that poltergeist Woody. And Woodrow is my fake co-host. So I wonder, Woody, someone's trying to smudge your shine, bro. So I wonder if subconsciously I named Woodrow after a Kings Island ghost. But it's weird. Observation Tower 2 is like deep in the woods. It's only accessible by a small footpath. I think that with that and the girl in the tram, I think that people lived in those woods back in the day, back in the days when people did such thing as live in the woods. And, you know, just because you build an amusement park over their death spot doesn't mean they're not going to ghost you, right? So I think that's what happened. Last but not least, the most famous legendary ride in, well, one of them in the world, and definitely at Kings Island, is the Beast. It was at one point, if not still, the world's largest roller coaster made of wood, and it's amazing and excellent to get a headache if that's what you're after. Riders always claim to see glowing red lights in the woods near the ride. Like when you're on the ride, you go down this little hill, and it always happens at dusk. I'm going to call bullshit on it. I've ridden it a billion times. It's circuit lights. Come on, people. But I will say, creeps, the Cemetery Girl and Tower Johnny and maybe the Boy in White, if I really saw him, I personally vouch for. The rest, I never witnessed, but it's a big park. There's lots of acres. Pfft, remember that word? What the fuck is an acre? Yeah, so who knows? Who knows what happens on all the acres of the park there, right? Having walked that place at dark after hours, though, I can tell you that these Caspers are not malevolent, but they sure take pleasure in fucking with you. So that's basically how I would be as a ghost, as I, you know, roamed around dead amongst all of the fun acreage. What is an acre? Hey, creep. So I was just thinking about that Black Sunday. So I know Jason and I were definitely there, but I did some research and those deaths occurred at night. So we were there that day, but I don't know what day it was that we ended up in the parking lot for 5 or 6 hours. I don't think I started drinking until I was 16, so we weren't drunk at 13. I can't explain it. Not a big detail, but, you know, OCD. Back to the show. Well, creeps, here in Florida, Disney World is the Magic Kingdom, or perhaps the Tragic Kingdom. Dun, dun, dun. Disney World in Orlando is sort of the granddaddy of them all, as far as grandiose amusement park history goes, and any place that large, with that many acres, that services millions per year is gonna be bound to have some deaths. Even though the company is known for trying their damnedest to get the victim off property before they die. And that part is true. Fire up the Google machine, kids. It has long been reported that no one is ever pronounced dead until their body has been removed from the property of Disney. The company truly lives by the movie Frozen. Because when they see a potential death occurring on site, they boot the meat sack across the yellow line and shout, "Let it go!" Oh, Disney, let's examine some ghostly happenings in Icky Mickey World, both Disney in Florida and Disneyland in California. So maybe that way you creeps can relate if you're spread out across the country. In 1984, Regina Young, who was known as Dolly, she should have went to Dolly World, or was it Dollywood, you know, but whatever. In 1984, Dolly fell from her seat while riding the Matterhorn at Disneyland out in California, and was killed when she was struck by another oncoming bobsled. Her seatbelt was unbuckled, but it's unknown whether she did it herself or whether it was a result of a malfunction. I'm going to say she probably did it herself because I always loosen the buckles for a more dangerous and thrilling experience. On roller coasters, I used to jack my knee up real high, so when the guy would come by and check where the bar was, it would feel like it was next to my hip, but really I had like a foot of space to almost fall out to my death. Those were the days. So these days, some cast members, yes, they aren't employees, folks, they're cast members. Douche alert. Just spray them with Axe body spray while you're at it there, Disney. These cast members claim to have felt like someone was watching them during their routine walkthroughs of the ride, the Matterhorn, at Disneyland. The actual spot where Dolly died is known as Dolly's Dip. Next, we have a good ghost. This is probably one of the, I don't know, more famous Disney deaths. So like the Matterhorn, there's some sad history and horrific happenstance to this. In 1974, a young girl, 18 years old, named Deborah Stone, was crushed to death while working as a hostess at the America Sings attraction in Disneyland. America Sings was located in this rotating theater that once housed the Carousel of Progress. On the evening of July 8th, Deborah Stone was caught between the rotating theater wall and the stationary stage wall and died as a result. So imagine, was it in Star Wars, was it the second one where the walls are caving in and you get crushed? That's horrific, and that's what happened to this young lady. I'm trying to think of a better way. It's like being crushed in a trash compactor or something. And this really happened. She was literally crushed, but here's the thing. No one even knew. So they performed a few shows while her corpse was crushed between these walls, kind of in a darkened area, unnoticed. Eventually, obviously, they figured something out. I believe it was her hair got caught, and then that's when the rest of it happened. As a result, a safety light was put in, which would warn the operator of the attraction when people got too close. Additionally, the stationary walls were, you know, replaced with like breakaway ones. Deborah Stone, Debbie, she has sort of become a guardian angel. It's said by cast members that work on the attraction, which closed in 1988, they used to hear a voice warning them, quote, be careful if they got too close to the walls. So again, real life death, but as far as her family goes, you know, it sounds like she was doing something great posthumously. She was a guardian angel. That's why I think we can tell these tales. Oh, Walt Disney, the eccentric, possible Nazi sympathizer himself. Seriously, creeps, ask Jeeves. I'm not making it up. Walt Disney and Nazis, kind of a thing. So he wanted a place to stay on the property as, while being built, his vision of Walt Disney World was sort of coming to fruition in the 50s. I couldn't find anything regarding him building a Hitler's Hayride, but I will keep looking, of course. So, he had an apartment built right in the center of the amusement park. The apartment was convenient for like the late nights and early mornings, as Walt kind of oversaw the Disney dream spring to life. He was sort of a tyrant like Hitler. Let's see where I'm going with that. So, in recent years, the apartment has been opened back up again for those who choose to pay for some of the behind-the-scenes tours that the park offers, because, you know, Disney doesn't make enough money. Eye roll emoji. As a tribute to Walt Disney, a light is always left on in the apartment's front window. But according to the folklore, this wasn't always the case. So one day, a cast member, aka employee, I wonder if they would call them a cast member if they died on site, or would they just take their cast member body and be like, oh, this person is not in the cast anymore, they didn't die here. One day, a cast member looking after the apartment tried to turn the light off before leaving Walt's old apartment. of course, after he died. However, when she came back later, the light had turned on again. She was the only person that had any access to this, so, you know, it's a bit of a head-scratcher. According to one version, she actually left the building, noticed the light on upstairs, went back up to turn it off, came back downstairs, noticed, hey, the light's on again, goes back up, unplugs the lamp this time, only to come back downstairs, and you guessed it, the light is on again. The last time she went up there to deal with the light, it said that she heard a voice, and the voice said, I'm still here. So I'm guessing that voice was Walt Disney. The light in the window has reportedly been left on ever since. What, Woodrow? Hold on, guys. No, it's not time for your comedy minute. Oh, don't guilt trip me. I left you in Georgia last week because you wouldn't leave the bathroom and that trucker kept licking his lips at me. Fine. Creeps, a quick joke from Woodrow, randomly interrupting the podcast. Okay, here's his joke. Did you know that I just found out I was colorblind? Yeah, it completely happened out of the purple. Oh, like out of the blue, I get. Are you happy with yourself? Okay. Well, sorry about that interruption. So the Haunted Mansion at Disney, it seems to be actually haunted. The man with the cane is legendary. In this tale, many cast members working alone have said that they have seen, quote, a man with the cane. And this man with the cane is riding the attraction, the Haunted Mansion, late at night. When spoken to, he's kind of a dick. He does not respond and then disappears out of sight. So who is this mysterious man with the cane? He is said to be the ghost of a pilot that died when his plane crashed in the 1940s into what is now known as Bay Lake. I don't get it, though. Why the cane? Did he have the cane before while he was a pilot? Wouldn't that make it hard to fly? Or did he die from the plane crash and then injure his leg, but as a ghost he has to have a fucking cane? That's just so weird. Anywho, another spirit that is rumored to inhabit the Haunted Mansion, as if, you know, ghosts, I guess, don't want privacy, is that of a wee little lad. It goes that this child appears to be happy and just rides the attraction alone, peering out from his train car, I guess you'd call it. There are a few creepy fucking photos circulating the interwebs that are said to be of this particular apparition. I shall post on Twitter. He is a creepy little fucker. With those eyes, he looks like that famous Amityville photo with that demon child. Oh, by the way, creeps, did you know Ronald DeFeo died in prison recently? Not gonna lie, I had a celebratory cupcake. Cakes, plural. I had multiple cupcakes. And a Twinkie. I am a vessel of shame. Beyond the examples listed, there are countless stories of unexplained figures, shadows, footsteps, and other strange noises taking place at Disney World. From hallways at various resorts to the walkways around the parks, there's too many locations to list separately where people believe they've seen something supernatural. I should say preternatural. Supernatural more means like God, and that gets thrown around the wrong way. Preternatural is more for like the ghosts and stuff like that. I'm just trying to change our vernacular. But yes, one of those roamers that people see, a smiley-faced Roy Disney, Walt's brother himself, who to this day watches over the empire he largely built. It's a small world after all. Unless, of course, we're measuring by acres, which I think acres are big. Well, creeps, it's time for the Woodrow Comedy Minute that usually goes like 3 minutes, but I can't get him to change the name because it isn't worth the argument.
What?
No, I'm not saying that. Why? It's stupid. You really want to die on this hill, Woodsy? You do? Fine. But I'll tell you this. This is starting to remind me of that time we dressed up as lumberjacks and threw falafels at the birds at Colonial Williamsburg. Okay, creeps. Woodrow has chosen amusement park jokes today. And he wants me to let you know that he's unstoppable. Oi. Okay. Joke number one from Woodrow. Fresh back from Cordell, Georgia last week, where he ate bad sushi at the truck stop. What is a blind person's least favorite theme park? SeaWorld. Oh, criminy. Joke number two from Woodrow. I was at an amusement park with my friends. They all said the invisible roller coaster was great, but I didn't see the attraction. Okay, the bloom is off the rose, Woodrow. Can you end it on a high note? Is this list just all about not being able to see things in amusement parks? Okay, let's do this. Last joke. Woodrow, this is just a Disney joke. It's not even a... Okay, whatever. What did Snow White say when her commission photographs were not ready yet? Someday my prince will come. Well, Woodsy really pun-ished us this week. That's our Woodrow. Creeps, back to the show. So, creeps, let's cover some other parks across the map. Visitors to Six Flags Great Adventure Amusement Park in Jackson, New Jersey, have reported seeing teenagers standing and sitting throughout the park, only to realize these guests are not real. They're ghosts, and these ghosts appear to be wearing clothing from the 1980s or 1990s. This claim is particularly eerie, because in 1984, 8 teenagers became trapped and ultimately perished in the park's haunted castle attraction. A volunteer firefighter recalled later being unable to tell human bones from the skeleton props. Following this tragedy, state legislation began holding amusement parks to higher safety standards. Fire safety requirements were upped and better emergency exit protocols were implemented for rides meant to disorient visitors. No word on whether these teen ghosts from Jersey, however, live their afterlife by the motto Jim Laundry Tan, or is it Jim Tan Laundry? I don't know. It's a Jersey Shore joke. Moving on. So, 6 miles from where I wrote this episode is Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida. At Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida, the Crown Colony restaurant has long frightened the staff. Many claim to have experienced paranormal activity, to include window reflections of a man playing piano, general feelings of being watched, and visions of a prowling woman in a white nightgown. They also cite unexplained cold spots, moving shadows, flickering lights, and the scent of non-existent cigar smoke, which is something I've heard about in many ghost cases where in life someone smoked a cigar, but they're, I guess in death you still smell the smoke, though it's not there. Oh, and they also have visions of a young child named Wendy. Interesting. I wonder if Wendy has red pigtails. Now I want a Frosty. A veteran employee of the restaurant on the Busch Gardens campus there insisted that the fourth floor had a presence. Quote, almost any time you're up there by yourself and go up to press the elevator button, you get this unexplained cold chill and the hair on the back of your neck stands up.
Well, I believe it stands out like
to the side, not up, but yeah. Next one, a spirited child named Annie is said to haunt another Six Flags over Texas. Actually, that's the name of the place, Six Flags Over Texas. There we go. Use your words, John. Easy for me to say. Guests and staff speak fondly of this child named Annie and say she regularly turns lights on and off in her, quote, room, which is located in a yellow house near the Texas Giant. Paranormal researcher Chad Miller said employees told him Annie's body had been found in the 1920s in a creek bed. All these little children, these ghosts, just dying in creek beds and, water. You just know some asshole adult was behind it, and that's the worst thing of all, because they got away with it. You just know it. Researchers report seeing a teddy bear move in Annie's room, as well as hearing a voice say, "Let me play with your hair." Is that creepy, though? I say that to girls all the time. And creeps, it always never works. Abandoned since Hurricane Katrina struck in 2005. Formerly Jazzland, but another Six Flags, New Orleans, still draws curious onlookers hoping to break in and explore the eerie compound. People claim to hear phantom laughter of children and the music from rides that have not operated in over a decade. Reports also claim the thundering whoosh from roller coasters that are no longer there. In 1915, Carl Lemieux, who the fuck? Tell me if you think this is a terrible name to be cursed with. Carl, then his last name is spelled L-A-E-M-M-L-E. So I was calling Carl lame. Lame Carl. In 1915, Lame Carl opened Universal City Ranch to the California public, providing visitors with the first inside look at the burgeoning film industry. During the weekend activities, the opening weekend, the spotlight of cinema became a bit too bright. So during an aviation stunt that was meant to impress thousands of guests, pilot Frank Stites plummeted to his demise for reasons still unknown. Horrified, Universal City canceled the rest of the weekend's events, but modern visitors and staff continue to see a man walking around the back lot dressed as a pilot. John Murdy, the creative director of Halloween Horror Nights, has even heard someone giggling on the back lot. He created a dummy of the pilot for the attraction in an attempt, he says, to pay homage to the fallen Frank Stites. I think that's pretty fucked up, personally. He was a real person. Murdy said he hasn't heard any disembodied laughing since, only, you know, the very alive screams of delighted visitors. Someone wrote that for him. You know, there's something to be said about these air events. Someone's got to do a percentage. All these air shows, people are always wrecking these planes. I used to live by the Dayton Airport where Wright Pat is, and that's, you know, where the Area 51 ship was sent to, supposedly, and there was always an air show, and as kids, we could go on the roof of the house and just watch, and that was always cool, but I remember being so scared, and man, these air shows, it's always, you always see the guy, same thing, going up to do a flip in some refurbished, restored 1920 fluffernuffer whatever, and they do the flip and like get halfway through and then just die. Air shows, I'm telling you, stay away. Creeps, if you live in Connecticut or have ever visited a relative or friends up near Waterbury, which is home of the fictitious Waterbury Open from Happy Gilmore, then you likely have seen the large cross sitting up a hill along I-84. This is a giant cross, and it is an icon in Waterbury because it marks where about 40,000 people were attracted to Holy Land Park in the 60s and 70s. That just has horror movie written all over it. John Greco was a man who received a message from God to single-handedly build this park. And this was like a paid tribute to the Holy Land that sits in Israel, making Holy Land in Connecticut for the flock of the faithful. John Greco was spoken to directly from God. Okay, no problems there. John created smaller-than-life versions of Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and other biblical locales and figures, and replicated like 200 unique sculptures. How do you do this? It says out of chicken wire, plywood, fiberglass, and plaster. Chicken wire. Interesting. I should probably pre-read my stuff. I do the research, it's painstaking, and then I just go right to it. So the park officially closed Creeps in 1986 because John Greco died, and I guess God did not tell him he was going to die. So, holy burn. So, he left the park to a group of nuns, creepy, that continued to hold the land from the park. So, it was kind of a well-intentioned tale, but it turned dark when a teenager was murdered near the site in 2010, making the area have a haunting ghost story to go along with its creepy abandonment. It's recently been bought from the nuns, and there's a discussion to have like a revival to it, but there have been no further motions to recreate Holy Land and to make the renovations that John Greco desperately wanted to add to the park. So sitting up there, I don't know. I don't know why crosses sitting on a lonely, abandoned mountaintop. It's just creepy. So, the legendary Coney Island, not the one from Cincinnati, as I mentioned earlier, but the actual original. The legendary Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York. You know it is home of the hot dog eating contest. It is, of course, a major tourist trap. Thousands of people visit this park every day, despite the looming cloud that hovers over it. Tons and tons of deaths here. The most famous, though, is a dead man named L.A. Thompson. And L.A. Thompson haunts a certain roller coaster. No one knows why he haunts this particular coaster, but it is a roller coaster that has a tower with it. So if you're ever curious, you can go to Coney Island, chill at the tower, and keep an eye out for the infamous L.A. Thompson. Sounds like a record producer more than a, ghost. Finally, we will finish with an overseas abandoned park. This is Akpo Land in South Korea. Oh, mother ducker. So the deaths of the park started in the 90s when a young girl was killed by the duck theme ride, which is on Twitter, at writer John Allen, no H. And the parents, in return for this girl's death, received nothing but the disgusting fact that the park stayed open and visitors continued to go there. So, a couple years later, another girl was thrown from this fucking duck ride after it derailed in 1999. Now, that incident did make the park close the very next day. This is one fucky ducky, creeps. Again, check out my Twitter pics, fuck a duck. The owner of Akpo Land fled and was nowhere to be seen or heard from again, and everything creepily remained intact, including the derailed duck that killed some girls. In 2011, the park was leveled, and I guess now it's occupied by hotels. But in between that time, there's a lot of dark tourism, a lot of people taking selfies next to the death duck, and it's just spooky. There's something wrong with that ride, ducks. I say keep the wacky quackies on your side of the bed, pullies. Well, creeps, that's our show this week. I think the obvious pretend fake outro music today simply has to be Love Roller Coaster by the Ohio Players. Thank you once again for my new patrons and my old patrons, and anybody that wants to be that jazzy, please head on over to patreon.com/creepycrawl or go to Venmo at Jonathan-Allen-154 and do follow me on the Bluebird at writer John Allen, no H, boy band style. Creeps, I hope we were able to ruin your vacation plans with this episode as summer rounds the corner. It's just keep an eye out for children that are, you know, not of this time. Until next time, remember that the park is not responsible for lost or stolen property like your lives. Children in 1800s clothing by themselves at a theme park is your cue to pull a Yui. And creepy crawl on.